Hi, Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Lisa Shipley, who is Executive Vice President and Managing Director at Transactions Network Services. Lisa, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Always good to talk to you, Karen.
Likewise. So let's start with the basics. I know that TNS, which is how most people know you, has been around the payments ecosystem for quite a long time, but you're kind of the brand behind the brand for a lot of what happens in payments. Explain to us what you guys do.
Yeah, I like to tell people we're the best kept secret in the industry. We are and have been in the industry for pushing 30 years now. And we have a really unique role in payments, and basically no other company really does what we do, especially on a global scale. So in a nutshell, TNS provides a central hub for all the major players in payments, which includes over 450 different connections in over 68 countries across the globe. So we kind of act as the United Nations of payments by allowing any company who has connectivity to TNS to any of the endpoints that they need to access. This is not just for merchants. You know, obviously, you know, our major customers are actually the major banks across the globe, the major acquirers across the globe. And by connecting to us, and if you think about it, you know, all the spokes that have to come into a company, you know, you can reduce those spokes by connecting to, you know, one central hub being TNS, save on the infrastructure, save on having to deal with all the security that those links mandate, the PCI regulations around it, and that's what we do, you know, for the players across the globe.
So to make it very tangible, give us a typical client that uses your network, without naming names, of course. So what is it that you actually specifically do for them?
Well, let me say this. There isn't a major acquirer that we're not physically connected to.
I see. So
what a lot of the large acquirers do, and in fact, some of these we are actually 100% of their interface from what's coming out of the point of sale. Hmm. So a terminal, you know, is swiped. It's actually not dialing, if you will, or maybe if it's an SSL transaction, a web transaction, it's not actually coming into them first. It comes to us in the format from the specific end device, and we don't really care what that end device is. So, you know, swipe the card, it comes into us, and then we provide it back to that acquirer in the format and the methodology that it wants. So typically a dial transaction, these big acquirers, this just bogs down these giant networks. So they don't want it in a dial. So I'll bring it in a secure fashion, convert that to typically an SSL transaction, and send that back to the acquirer. And they provide that interface for them. And like I said, some of these acquirers, 100% of that traffic is actually coming to TNS, not to them.
So how did TNS get started?
Oh my God, that's a really good question. You know, I think we started putting in what we call POPs, which are physical points of presence across the globe in connectivity. We have another side of our business that is, you know, deals with the trading commodities and also providing a physical link between all of the telcos. So we actually have three different parts of our company. So we've, you know, kind of been niche-y and providing unique solutions one by one to a variety of customers. And I think at the end of the day, you sit back and 25 years later, you look and say, wow, we've amassed this giant footprint of being able to provide that connectivity, that telco connection to all of these players. And now we've kind of put a wrapper around that and tried to get the right messaging in the marketplace to let the market understand really who we are and what we do. And it's not just the telco piece. I mean, we supply and support a variety of different encryption solutions, tokenization services. We sell little boxes that are basically routers. And if you think about an ATM or a vending machine or unattended, you know, those devices have to communicate. So we provide that communication vehicle within those pieces of hardware from then to that to, you know, those transactions to us, and then provide those transactions where they need to go.
So when you talk about a variety of endpoints, I mean, you're quite serious about a variety of endpoints, vending machines. I can think of 1,000 different examples as we think about the Internet of Things and all of the things that will require a connection of some kind back through an acquirer because there's a commerce transaction being carried over that network. Is that really what you are enabling as well?
Yeah, that's a great example. And another could be, let's say we're doing business with a large acquirer in the States, and let's say they have a major retailer that's global, and they need to get a transaction from Hong Kong for this merchant back to the States. You know, this acquirer is not going to have a physical point of presence to be able to do that. So we provide that front end to them, and we get that transaction back to the acquirer in the States. It's really providing the acquirers the ability to say they are truly global. So instead of having to build that infrastructure themselves, we provide that infrastructure for them.
So when merchants really do want to take advantage of cross-border and the global opportunities that all of that provides them, you're able to, through your acquiring relationships, make that possible for merchants. Is that right?
Correct. And what we do is we white label what we do. We don't compete particularly with the large acquirers. Anything that TNS does or can do and provide from a service or a connectivity perspective, all we're doing is saying to our customers, look, white label it. It's yours. You know, interface to us and anything that we do, call your own, relabel it yourself, and provide those services to your end customers.
So I would imagine that that works on the other side as well. I know you've done some things with UnionPay. Describe that relationship and what that unlocks.
Okay. UnionPay is a gateway, and it's a scheme. It's a Visa, it's a MasterCard, it's all the different flavors of where, you know, transactions need to go. We have physical connections into all of the scheme gateways, so all of the big card brands are, you know, we're physically connected to. So when you think about UnionPay coming into the States, well, how are customers today that don't have a physical connection into UnionPay going to make that happen? They can invest, they can put the pipes in, they can contract directly with UnionPay to do that, they can provide the security, the PCI, all the things that go around it, or they can just simply say, TNS, you're already a partner of ours, you've got that physical connection for anything coming in that I need to route or accept from a UnionPay perspective, I'm going to use you to get to that scheme. And you know, a good example of that is Travelex. Travelex is a global customer. And Travelex has done business with us for years. They front-end the transactions to us. So when you talk about China UnionPay coming into the States, for them, there's nothing that they needed to do knowing that they already had the partnership with TNS.
So when you say transactions, are these all card-based transactions?
It can be card-based. It can be web-based. It doesn't matter. We don't care what the end device is, the methodology of how it's communicating, and the, you know, end point where it needs to go. It's end-to-end, and we don't care. We don't care. Again, it could be a Square device. It could be a tablet. It could be a web transaction. It could come over to us and dial. It could be GPRS. It could be SSL. We don't care. We take all of that out. We can provide and will provide the tokenization, the encryption. It can be what the merchant brings to the table as their own. Can be, you know, a Verifone solution, a Genico solution. It could be a homegrown solution. We don't care. We can support it all.
Wow. It sounds like it's magic.
Yeah. It's just 30 years of doing this and bringing it all together. It's just a lot of years and trying to, you know, sit back and go, wow, look at what we've amassed and put a name on it all, right?
Well, and I think, you know, as the world has become global and there are so many more endpoints, the ability to simplify how all of this gets connected for the benefit of the banks and the retailers, you know, and the infrastructure that surrounds it, obviously becomes increasingly important. Talk a little bit about your partnership with Verifone and the capabilities around point-to-point encryption. Describe how that partnership is going to make that process easier for merchants that want to take advantage of that solution.
Sure. So we've been a good partner with Verifone for 5+ years now, and we interface and do business with them in many countries across the globe. When they came to us, they were looking for a partner that could basically do the managed services component of the encryption service that they offer. So, you know, when you think about it, if a major retailer wanted to do a Verifone solution, you're going to be buying hardware, you're going to be doing software interfaces, you're going to be supporting all of that infrastructure in-house. All we're doing is saying, look, Mr. Retailer, you don't need to do that. You can still embrace the Verifone solution on the hardware that you've chosen and utilize TNS to be able to provide the service as a managed service, provide the security, provide the PCI, and get out of, you know, really having to deal with any of that internally to the merchant. And at the end of the day, these guys are just trying to sell stuff, right? And yep. They've been burdened with this whole, you know, how do I manage security and how do I manage payments? And all we're saying is you don't have to. You know, come to us. It's a one-stop shopping. There's very little that they need to do. And we do this not only with Verifone. We do it with Ingenico. We do it with Trustwave. Bring your own. We don't care. Again, being very neutral to whatever the customer needs us to support.
Wow. So speaking of burden and kind of the race to a deadline, EMV, what role do you play or what is your part in simplifying the burden for the partners you're associated with in making that migration deadline less painful?
I don't know if I can make it less painful. It depends.
But your magic, your magic.
Yeah, I'm very magical. You know, EMVs is interesting because, first of all, there's still a lot of networks out there that can't support an EMV transaction, period.
Yep.
So we can actually sit in front of that right now as networks if they're not ready to say, hey, reroute, send it to us. I'm EMV ready certified. I'll get it to the endpoint until, you know, your network is ready enough to support EMV. So that's one, which is really critical. You know, and I think we all agree that EMV is one thing, but the whole, you know, it doesn't address security in
right.
totality. We still think it's just such a, it solves for one thing, maybe. It's not going to stop data from being, you know, stolen in flight. It's not going to prevent, you know, data at rest being, so there's a lot more to it. And I think that for EMV, one of the greatest examples I can think of is when a major hardware manufacturer has to take out massive amounts of devices because they're not EMV certified. There's all of that certification, recertification that has to happen. We can accelerate their ability to do that by providing a interface to us that we could then, you know, point back into all of the acquirers that we do business with them and allow them to simplify and expedite the certification of EMV. And we're mm-hmm. finding and seeing a lot of requests for that, not just because of EMV, but any new hardware player that's trying to get into a new region, you know, somebody that's, you know, in China trying to get into the U.S., we know it's a very painful process. It's one acquirer mm-hmm. at a time. Certification is very painful. So we provide them a tool set, you know, a terminal application, if you will, or interface to us, and that it really, really reduces the cost and the timeline relative to getting into new regions.
So let's talk a little bit about the Internet of Things, because, you know, that's a concept that is still a little out there. Although, as we begin to think about connected cars and, you know, things like Amazon's dash buttons and other enablers of commerce, creating these millions and millions of endpoints, is this capability that you offer just an extension of then what merchants and acquirers and banks can then offer their customers? Is that your enabling capability that allows them to then make good on their promise of delivering commerce to all of these endpoints?
It can. You know, any new player that's looking for, you know, a way to add these value-added applications or connections, it's still the complexity of going one acquirer at a time to make it happen,
right.
Depending on, you know, how you build that into the application level of that end device. So, you know, absolutely. And we're, I don't want to name names here, but we're having conversations with all of these niche kind of players that are understanding the acceleration that we can bring to be able to provide that. And again, they're not necessarily looking at getting into payments. They want to add their flavor of the day unique app without the pain of going down to the application level and even in getting into the payment piece at all. They want the marketing, they want the you know, the information, and we can provide provide that gateway, spin that information over to them. And I will say this, from a retail perspective, if you think about all the things that they want to embrace and how do you fold that into the very complex, you know, world of the payment app, you know, we can provide that rail on top with a retailer with one-stop shopping where they can see all of the different interfaces that come into them across all of the different regions that they do business with through one pipe, one set of reporting, you know, one secure network. And that is really a lot of where our net new business is coming from, those customers needing those connections.
So those who buy you really are the retailers and these endpoints, not necessarily, I mean, you're connected through the acquiring networks and those players, but those who buy you are those who really want to extend their capabilities longer term. Is that what I hear you saying?
No, I would still tell you that the bread and butter are the acquirers and the banks, because again, the acquirers are still trying to figure out as well how to keep their piece, keep the payments piece, and allow their retailers to add those value added. And they want to be able to find partners to help them do that easily. They want to be able to expand globally. I don't know if you've seen some of the announcements that we've done with global payments, but we have literally brought this customer across the globe. You know, they are all over. You know, we have just penetrated, you know, the majority of the major countries in Asia. And we did that as a partnership. We had the physical connectivity. They didn't have the footprint. And, you know, country by country, they can truly say that they are probably the largest worldwide acquirer right now because of, you know, utilizing TNS as that connection point.
Wow. So you alluded to conversations about some exciting things that really take your capability and enable many new exciting commerce opportunities. Anything that you can kind of tease or hint at that we should be looking for in the foreseeable future from TNS?
That's a great question. I think what you're going to find is that, you know, particularly in the European regions, that there's going to be more consolidation in that region, and TNS is going to play a key role in allowing that to happen. I think you're going to see some real changes where, you know, in Europe, they're very country specific and they don't cross border very well, and they don't today play well together. But I think, you know, the education that we've given the European market, I think what you're going to see is some really interesting partnerships with big companies, big acquirers in those regions, enabling and working with TNS to make some unique things happen in that marketplace.
Well, that's a good tease for hopefully the next conversation where you can be a little bit more specific as those plans unfold. Lisa, it was really great to get acquainted with TNS and to give our listeners the opportunity to understand better what you do and, more importantly, how they can leverage your capabilities to allow them to do what they probably also want to do but maybe struggling to execute today. Thank you.
Oh, I really appreciate your time, Karen, and look forward to this article and all the others that you guys produce. You do a great job.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that very much. Thank you.